The Isle of Vashon. This was a broadcast from 1926, May 26th of 1926. P. Monroe Smock walked over to KFOA. Well, he didn't walk. He took one of the many ferries that were available to him at the time. And he headed over to Seattle radio station KFOA to do a broadcast that was designed to boost, and that's what they called them back then, boosters, boost Vashon in the eyes of people who might come to visit or come to live. And this speech was provided to us by Peter Monroe Smock's grandson, Mike Suddeth, who sent it over to us and said, you might have some fun with this, and we certainly intend to. There were a group of local musicians, Vashon musicians, who accompanied him to KFOA. They brought their instruments, they brought their singing voices, and they performed a bunch of music from the era. Well, obviously, it had to be from the era. They couldn't play like today's music. They weren't covering the Beatles or anything like that. But back in 1926, they were playing some old songs, old-timey music, and that went over really, really well as well. And interestingly, one of the players was Doris Hoyt.
Maybe a long-lost ancestor?
I don't believe I had any long-lost ancestors here, but you never know. Maybe Doris was related in some way, but Doris Hoyt...
Maybe she's related to Dwayne.
Well, yeah, that's possible. And then there was the Smith family. Various Smiths were here. Edith, Glenn, and Jay Smith were playing music, and we didn't find the original broadcast, we didn't find the original music, but we did find the original versions of some of the music, and then we'll begin the first portion of this address, the Isle of Vashon. My friends, this hour's program is given under the auspices of the Vashon Island Commercial Club. This club is made up of 200 Vashon Island men and women who are back of everything that will be said at this hour. The club hasn't a thing to sell to any hearer, but has about 100 substantial gifts to present to as many people as may wish to respond.
In arranging this hour's broadcasting, Vashon Island expects to do itself a good turn, as well as a good turn to you who hear. The island will gain some wholesome publicity tonight, and you will get some accurate information about the island. You'll also get a material sample of some of the island's many products.
We are going to deliver at your door, without any expense to you, excepting a 2-cent postage stamp, dozens of crates of our strawberries, currants, cherries, loganberries, gooseberries, and tomatoes. We are going to send out a generous line of our world-famous white leghorn cockerels. Some of our big saltwater salmon will be shipped in ice to your door.
Artist Norman Edson will distribute a dozen or more of his newly patented rayochrome pictures of the Great Mountain for you to adorn the walls of your library room. Regal lily bulbs will go forth to several homes from this island where flowers flourish and lilies love to linger longer. A dozen milk-fed fries... Am I reading that right? Somebody's going to get 12 French fries? Well, we'll gladden the dinner table of some of you who hear, and while you're eating the toothsome birds with a relish, oh, must have meant
fryers.
Others may feed their minds upon several annual prepaid subscriptions to the island's newspaper, which will be sent out with its weekly message bearing the island's good cheer.
Always nice to have your mind fed. The gifts will all be distributed according to the zoning system of the parcel post. We want you to write us your comment on the program as a whole or any part of it. Many of these replies will be republished in the local newspaper. These replies will be received by the committee for 1 week. On the second day of June, the replies will all be segregated according to zones and put in different boxes.
I guess that was their version of taking the 10th caller, huh?
I guess so. A disinterested party will then draw from these different boxes as many replies as there are gifts. And the ones drawn will at once be notified, and the gift will be delivered to your address, charges prepaid.
Everyone who writes to us will receive an acknowledgement of their letter. We'll treat you all fairly, and in return, we ask you to send in your comment without delay. The club will make this an annual affair if this tryout is successful. Hitherto, the island spent several hundred dollars annually in our strawberry festival, But the coming of the radio impels us to change our publicity program, and this is Tryout Night.
In the two periods of 10 minutes each, which is to follow this mingling of music from some of our island's musical artists, I shall tell you of the island's position, some of its industries, some of the things it now possesses which make it the gem of Puget Sound, some of the diverse and sundry reasons why you should investigate this spot as a place for your children, a place to rest, a place to woo back your health, a place to spend your vacation, a place to invest your money, a place to find atmosphere for the book you intend to write or the picture you intend to paint, and above all, the home you expect to build. Things haven't changed that much. A lot of artists on Vashon these days.
And a lot of home builders.
Yes, and writers and everything else. Back then, they were trying to attract them, and I guess that's part of what set the standard. These are excerpts from The Isle of Vashon from 1926. And we welcome to the studio our own jazz guy, Bill Wood. Hey, Bill.
Hey there.
Well, when we thought of music of the era, we, of course, instantly thought of you, because I'm thinking jazz was probably a big thing back around then.
Well, it wasn't called the jazz age for nothing.
Yeah.
Jazz was the hip-hop of the day. I mean, it really was. It was interesting that you mentioned Al Jolson, because his first movie, of course, was The Jazz Singer. I just wonder how much of that stuff got up here, because the center of all this, of course, was the Chicago and New York, and it's really hard for me to picture a bunch of flappers doing the Charleston
in Pioneer
on Vashon, you know? Because Vashon really is its own animal. And when we play from our rotation, music that has some association with Vashon, we're not hearing, what we're hearing mostly is guys, girls, and guitars.
Right.
We're not hearing hip hop.
No.
And, you know, so we've always kind of, and I probably those guys who played on the program, we're playing guitars and banjos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if in fact jazz did reach Seattle, and it must have, you know, they must have had. When you turn on your radio, some you might hear something like this. Thank you.
recreating the Isle of Vashon, an address on the radio from 1926. And what did we just hear, Bill Wood?
We heard Tijuana by Bix Beiderbecke and his Wolverines. Bix was one of the preeminent trumpet players of his day.
Mm-hmm.
He became a legend. They made movies about him, Man with the Horn, with Kirk Douglas. He was a very agreeable person. He was a total drunk, and he died at 24.
Yikes.
Whoa.
Before he would have even been off his parents' health insurance.
Yeah. Pee Wee Russell, who was a clarinet player, once said, he was there when Bix died. He mm-hmm. said, Bix just came in from a party. He'd been playing jazz all night. He'd been drinking all night. He just went, lay down on the bed, turned his face to the wall, and died.
Wow. Well, flamed out early, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think I found that Al Jolson song, and we'll play a little bit of it. This is Morning Will Come, and then we'll fade it down and continue our Isle of Vashon speech. And then you can tell us about the next song after that. Okay, so here, we hope, is Al Jolson and Morning Will Come.
Nighttime is another word for sadness. We like a gladness unto the day. Darkest hours come before the dawning of a golden morning, and so I say, don't mind the darkness, morning will come. Shadows are bound to go by, and when they fly, rosy dawn will pierce the sky.
One of the greatest assets of Vashon Island is its equable climate. During the past so-called winter, not one flake of snow was seen, and children here are old enough to talk who don't know what snow looks like. We're not awakened nights by the sound of thunder nor the flash of lightning. Children born here have to go east to find out what songs the mosquito sings, and fly swatters are not sold in our local stores. What happened?
Right. High school graduates aren't puzzled about the spelling of such words as cyclones and earthquakes, as both words are known here only as a tradition. Malaria and typhoid never cross the sound to our island. Everywhere there is an abundance of pure, cold spring water. And today, the town of Vashon opened up a community water system which will bless generations yet unborn.
Being separated from two great cities of Puget Sound by water, the island never has been bothered with the bum, the thug, or the highwayman. There are two kinds of stock that is far below par on Vashon Island. The one is a stock in an undertaking establishment, and the other is stock in a padlock factory. We seldom have need of the former. I guess people didn't used to die when they came here, and we never have need of the latter. You'll find no padlocks on our doors. When we leave the island to visit a sick relative back east, we never lock the door. When we return from our trip, nothing has been molested, excepting some obliging neighbor has mowed the lawn and perhaps arranged fuel in the fireplace ready for us to kindle.
Our climate attracts the people who really know what they want. The island is populated by a very superior interurban class. A big community home in the center of the island furnishes good times for all classes and all ages nearly every night of the week. During the past 3 months, we have had the opportunity of listening to at least three addresses from people whom you all know. Mrs. Josephine Corliss Preston, past president of the NEA, and at present state superintendent of public instruction, has her summer home here on Vashon Island and spoke here a few nights ago. Mayor-elect Bertha K. Landis of Seattle has been on the island a number of times and addressed a gathering of workers here recently and has a very warm spot for the Isle of Vashon. Governor Roland H. Hartley spoke for 2 hours here the same week he spoke in Seattle. These are but a sample of the men and women who are on the island nearly every week, and we expect to entertain for 2 weeks this summer the Vice President of the United States, who is a friend of one of our poultry men.
Hot times in the old town tonight. Woo!
Well, it's still true that people don't necessarily lock their houses or their cars. There are some people that still leave their keys in their car when they go into Thriftway. Just come out when it's done and start the thing up and go. Do you do that, Bill?
I don't leave the keys
in
the car.
And what kind of car do you drive if you do?
Yeah, and what's the license plate?
But I don't leave the keys in. But I don't. I don't lock the car, and I don't lock the house when we go out.
Yeah, it's there is. You know, we have had an uptick in theft and burglary on the island.
Lawnmowers, in particular,
over the years.
Chainsaws.
I don't recall any obliging neighbor mowing our lawn while we were gone.
Or putting wood in our wood stove.
That would be a little creepy.
Yeah.
We come home and the wood stove is stocked with fire. I don't know if I would think, oh, what a kind neighborly gesture that was, or we have to search the house to make sure that everything is still in place.
Check the silverware.
Yeah. But, yeah, crazy. This is the Isle of Vashon, as delivered by Peter Monroe Smock, 1926, on KFOA Radio. The music of the era.
Well, another name that immediately comes to mind is Bessie Smith, the king, the queen of the blues.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the blues, you know that there is always a subtext of sex. It's almost always about I lost my man, or I lost my woman, or change the lock on the door, you know, that kind of
padlocks.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So Bessie made a portion of her living by singing songs which were full of double entendre. And this is one of them. It's called Kitchen Man.
And let's see. Here it comes. We think. There we go. Here it is. Kitchen Man from Bessie Smith on Voice of Vashon.
Madam Books was quite beloved. Servants by the score. Woodmans at each door. Butlers and maids. But one day Dan, her kitchen man, gave in his notice he's through. She cried, oh, Dan, don't go, it'll grieve me if you do. I love his cabbage, crave his hash, deppy about his sucker taste. I can't do without my kitchen man. While about his turnip top, like the way he warms my chop, I can't do without my kitchen man. Anybody else can leave, and I would only laugh. But he means too much to me, and you ain't heard the half. Oh, his jelly roll is so nice and hot, never fails to test the spot. I can't do without my kitchen man. His frankfurters are all so sweet. How I lack his sausage meat. I can't do without my kitchen man. Oh, how that boy can open clams. No one else can touch my hands. I can't do without my kitchen man. When I eat his donuts, all I leave is a hole. Anytime he wants to, why, he can use my sugar bowl. Oh, his bologna's really worth a try. Never fails to satisfy. I can't do without my kitchen man.
All right, Bessie Smith. Wow, that was great. And some old blues from, what was that, around 19, was that right around that time, 1925?
I would say about 1925.
Okay, cool. Wonderful. And that night, when the Isle of Vashon was being read, when we were learning about the mosquito-free, fly-free
zone. the no-fly zone of the 1920s.
Had music from various Vashon Islanders, Doris Hoyt, and various Smiths of various names. And one of the songs they played was from Charles Wakefield Cadman, and it's called At Dawning. And I think I may be able to raise this up from the internet, and we might be able to read the next section of the Isle of Vashon with accompaniment here. Let's see if it works. There it is. All right. What's next?
Vashon Island has a shoreline of 50 miles. Nearly every foot of this shoreline is a possibility for a summer cottage. Already there are 28 docks where ferry boats and steamships carry from all over the Great Northwest eager summer visitors. These come here to rest and fish and bathe and row and dig clams and gooey ducks and build campfires and sing songs and sleep and give their tired and jaded nerves a real rest. You'd need that after all that gooey ducking.
I'm tired
already. I'll tell you, they sing when they land, but they sigh when they depart. And yet, there are thousands of available waterfront tracts that are accessible at very modest prices. I'm sure that's still true.
Permanent settlers come here and they stay. Leaders in the medical fraternity retire here to enjoy the fruit of active service. Lawyers and judges are here aplenty. Preachers and poets, newspaper men and novelists, mechanics and musicians, farmers and farmerettes.
Ooh, I want to be a farmerette.
All alike are here, and all alike are happy. Our good roads are one of our attractions. We have 60 miles of good graveled roads. There are hundreds of islands out in Puget Sound, good, bad, and indifferent. But of all the islands out here, there is only one island that has a foot of paved highway, and that is Vashon Island, which has 6 long, smooth miles of concrete pavement, every foot of which gives the tourist and the traveler a new vista of increasing beauty and enthralling charm.
Vashon Island is 12 miles long, so I guess 6 of those miles went down the middle, and it's 4 miles wide. It contains 5,680 happy residents. It is the same size and has the same population as the Isle of Patmos, on which John the Revelator was exiled. And as he looked up from that isle, the good book says he caught a glimpse of heaven. Well, I'd say and a few other things. Vashon Island is in one respect ahead of the Isle of Patmos, for here the exile doesn't need to look up to get a glimpse of the New Jerusalem. All he needs to do is look around. In other words, Vashon Island is really a little heaven on earth.
If you will climb with me now to the top of the new 75-foot water tower at Vashon and look southward, you can see the smoke rising from the Tacoma smelter. This smokestack is the second highest in the world. If you will look north, you can see the top of the 42-story L.C. Smith Building in Seattle, which is the largest city for its age in the world. If you look backward, you will see the eternal snow-clad Olympics, and beyond these stand 1/7 of the merchantable timber in America, waiting the axe and the saw to convert it into ships and bridges and homes to gladden and enrich generations yet to come. If you look eastward, you will get an open view of the Great Mountain, so great that it requires 2 names, Mount Rainier and Mount Tacoma, to properly do it justice.
I'm told that no place in the world but Puget Sound will give you a vista in altitude of 3 miles. Here you sweep with one look from the waters of the Sound to the top of this mountain, an elevation of over 14,000 feet. If you will draw a circle with a radius of 20 miles with our water tower for the center, you'll enclose within that circle more people than can be found within any similar circle west of the Mississippi River, California alone excepted. You will enclose within that circle about 750,000 progressive people. And in the center of that circle, you will find nestling, sturdy little Vashon Island.
Ah, a little geography lesson for us all. From the Isle of Vashon, an address from 1926 on Seattle radio station KFOA, as delivered by Peter Monroe Smock, owner and editor of the Vashon News Record, Vashon Island News Record, the newspaper of the day. And it was in just a little while, we're going to be visiting with Bruce Hallman to find out what's the deal? Why was this thing even done in the first place? And what happened as a result of it? Bill Wood, the jazz guy, is here with us. And did you want to say something, Cindy?
Oh, I just wanted to say that kind of sounded like a wrap-up, but no, there's more.
Oh, no. We've got quite a bit more of the Isle of Vashon to present to you today.
We haven't even read any of the poems yet.
Or any of the chickens or eggs, the many... There's a lot of stuff here. We're gonna tell you all about it. So, Bill, music of the era. What else you got for us?
Well, ragtime.
Ah, good.
Ragtime preceded jazz, really, or it came along kind of the same time. But when ragtime started, it was not jazz. Mm-hmm. It was a formal music, every note of which was played. And it was kind of intended as the American classical music.
Really?
Yeah.
The syncopated kind of.
Yeah, it wasn't syncopated particularly. But since it came along about the same time as jazz, it very quickly became absorbed by jazz. So the piece that I'm playing is The Entertainer, which you may remember mm-hmm. from The Sting.
Yeah.
Every note is written except for the piano solo, which is a little
is improvised.
Improvised, yeah.
Okay.
But all the rest of it is just totally. Although they use the rhythm that was much looser than the early ragtime. The early ragtime, like by the original Dixieland Jazz Band, would be 2/4 time.
Uh-huh.
This is definitely in 4/4.
Okay.
So it's a more relaxed feel.
Here's The Entertainer on The Voice of Vashon.
Thank you.
Yeah, the entertainer on The Voice of Vashon. And who was the artist performing that?
Mutt Carey.
Mutt Carey?
Yeah.
Mutt was the first name? Or
that this... was his name, Mutt Carey.
So it's not like a band like Mudhoney or something?
No. It was Mutt Carey. He was a trumpet player.
Okay. This portion of the... all of our sponsors, by the way, during this Isle of Vashon address, are businesses from Vashon back in the day. So this portion of the Morning Scramble is brought to you with support provided by the Pantatorium, where you can get men's suits pressed for just 75 cents, trousers a quarter, sponged and pressed for just $1.25, repairing neatly done, and sewing, and ladies' work is a specialty. Just go see Mrs. G.E. Cisco on Vashon.
I wish those prices were still real.
The Pantatorium. I can't.
I like that. It's so Latin.
Should we read the next section and then bring in Bruce? Let's read the next section and then bring in Bruce. Okay.
Well, we want to hear about the fact that there were 8 post offices, so you should get going on that.
Okay, so Vashon, here we're continuing now, the Isle of Vashon. Vashon Island has 8 U.S. post offices. It has a 24-hour electric light service and 24-hour telephone service. It has modern auto buses that meet the boats and ferries. It has a boat service each day, plying between these two big cities through the West Pass. It has a boat service out of Tacoma to all points on Quartermaster Harbor several times each day. A ferry from Tacoma to the south end of the island, making frequent trips, and a ferry out of both Seattle and Fauntleroy to the north end at most any hour of the day.
There are several lodges, such as Mrs. Shanahan's Swastika at Dilworth Point. Okay, we're going to hear more about that in a minute, I bet. Mrs. Pyle's Madrona at Ellisport and Mrs. Evans' Island Inn at Burton. At Cove, the Methodists have an assembly at Beulah Park. At Cedarhurst, the Lions Club of Seattle give upward of 100 girls a summer vacation of rest and delight. Near Liza Beulah is Camp Sylph, one of the largest campfire sites in the U.S. At Ellisport is the big public Pioneer Park, and at Burton, the Baptists of the state hold their annual assembly. This should be a great place for Baptists, for the island is entirely surrounded by water.
Okay. There are big gravel bunkers on Maury Island. Theo Berry, not the movie vamp, but a merchant at Docton, has a couple of big fish traps which catch the big salmon by the ton. He's going to give away some of these to you while you are listening, who are listening in. The island has a prosperous bank, a half dozen garages, steam laundry, newspaper, state park, a Pantatorium, I just threw that in, nursery, 2 big sawmills, Standard Oil service station, electric store, beauty parlor, barber shop, moving picture house, 20 general stores, a drug store, a dentist, 3 doctors who are threatened with starvation because everyone lives forever here, and an undertaker who makes his living by working at another trade because no one dies. I'm paraphrasing. I'm assuming that is what the deal is. So that is another section from the Isle of Vashon, and we welcome to the studio Bruce Hallman. Bruce, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, you were in New Zealand for a long time.
Australia, New Zealand.
Yeah.
10 weeks, 5 weeks in Australia, 5 weeks New Zealand.
Okay.
Good time of year to be below the equator.
It is.
I'll get you talking a little more straight into the microphone.
Yes,
there.
Definitely.
Bruce, okay. We had in last time he came in, he was telling us the origins of many of the street names of Vashon Island and how they went from poetic to numeric.
Well, what was the idea here? What was the goal of this address?
Well, you know, Vashon during the 1920s is actually entering the Depression long before much of the United States is. There's an agriculture depression going on throughout the United States in the 1920s. Really, after World War I, there's a big agricultural collapse. And Vashon was largely agricultural. So a lot of the things that drove the economy in Vashon in the early 1900s, are closing down. The shipyards are closing, the sawmills are closing, and people are starting to leave. Vashon loses population between 1920 and 1930.
Was this because we had been somewhat on a wartime footing?
No, it's just the nature of the shift in the Puget Sound region. Seattle and Tacoma were becoming big dominant cities. The Interurban Railroad had come in. Roads and automobiles and trucks were coming in. And all of a sudden, it was easier to move goods from Auburn or from Everett to Seattle and Tacoma by road or by train, electric railroad, than it was by boat. Before the 1920s, it was much cheaper to ship from Vashon to Seattle or Vashon to Tacoma than it was from Puyallup to Tacoma. All of a sudden, there's an electric railroad, there's roads, there's trucks, and Vashon's on the losing end of that transportation revolution.
So we weren't the only ones building our 6 miles of concrete highway.
Oh, no, lots of other highways going on, and really putting Vashon at a disadvantage.
Tell us about Peter Monroe Smock.
Interesting guy. A bit of a huckster,
uh-huh.
In today's language, if you would. Comes out of Pennsylvania, lives in Iowa for a while, ends up in Idaho, becomes a preacher in Idaho, and sort of a mover and shaker in Payette, Idaho. Marries a young woman from there, Agnes Smock. They come to Vashon, they buy the News Record, mm-hmm. which was a newspaper at the time, in 1919. And then they continue to own it into 1942. Peter, however, shortly after this broadcast, leaves his wife and three children and moves off the island. And Agnes ends up running the newspaper and becoming the editor, and is the editor until she sells the newspaper in 1942.
Wow.
So he left the little piece of heaven on earth.
He left a little piece of heaven on earth. He left his wife, he left his kids, and sort of started a new life.
Okay, so now, was this all his idea? Was this his plan?
No, it's sort of Vashon at that time. There's a group of sort of what I would call entrepreneurial business people on the mm-hmm. island who are trying to sort of stem this tide of decline that's going on. Hansen at the bank, Mukai with the strawberries, the Beals with the greenhouses, Theo Berry sort of with Docton and the Docton store and the shipyards that are still working in Docton. And they're sort of the core of what's called the commercial club,
mm-hmm.
About 200 members, which out of a population of nearly 6,000 is a good sized group.
Yeah,
and they're really interested in promoting the island, and I think that's where this comes from.
Sort of a precursor to the Chamber of Commerce.
It is. It's sort of the commercial club was sort of the Chamber of Commerce of the day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to read the next section.
Before we do, though, I got to ask Bruce about Swastika
the
Lodge.
The Swastika Lodge, the Shanahans.
With some pre-Nazis here.
Pre-Nazi, yeah, right. Shanahans built the lodge in the early 1920s at Dilworth. Unfortunately, it burned in the 1960s. It's a beautiful sort of a shingled building. But the fireplace, the main fireplace, was made out of river rock. And right in the middle of the fireplace is this amazing swastika. And, of course, the swastika is an ancient Indian symbol, essentially of the four winds and the four directions. And so in the 1920s, before the rise of National Socialism and Hitler and what we associate with the swastika today, it was really a symbol of Native Americans, of the four winds and the four directions. And so Swastika Lodge at the time would have been a very logical thing to do.
And as I see from the ad from the original paper, Swastika Lodge had an unobstructed view of the placid Puget Sound. So you had this view.
Exactly. It was right above Dilworth Point. You had basically about a 200-degree view from Seattle all the way to Mount Rainier. It was a spectacular location.
So kind of the spirit of the swastika off in all the directions.
Exactly.
Abundance of shade, individual cottages, tennis court, huge community fireplace, and spacious dining room.
Well, there's that fireplace.
For detailed information of boat service, write or phone us or call the Seattle Times Information Bureau, Mrs. F.C. Shanahan. And their slogan was, "Our chicken dinners are famously good."
Catchy.
Yeah.
Almost great. Like the hardware store.
Great good food.
Great good food.
Great good food, right?
And we are going to hear a lot about chickens, but first we're going to hear a little bit about Dahlias. So we continue the Isle of Vashon with a little bit of instrumental music from the era provided to us by island music historian Mark Graham, who sent over Seattle Hunch from Jelly Roll Morton, which we will play underneath us here as we continue. One of the largest... Oh, you start.
That's mine, yes. One of the largest dahlia farms in the Northwest is here, the Sheffield Bulb Farm at Burton. About 400 dahlias have been propagated and named by Mr. and Mrs. Sheffield, and they are now operating a regal lily farm in connection with their already established dahlia business. Vashon Island also has a Goodwill farm, operated by the Goodwill Industries of America and financed by the Exchange Club of Seattle.
One of the largest egg concerns in the country, an egg concern, okay, is that of England and Peterson at Cove. These people also operate a large auto truck transfer business. But the island isn't limited to business matters, for here are cultural things as well. There is a strong body of men and women in the Vashon Island Lily Club. The Vashon Heights Rose Club held a competitive exhibit this week, and expert rose culturists declare it would compare not unfavorably with the great rose exhibit of Portland. A Vashon Island Baseball Association is now being organized with the backing of the entire island. Ah, near and dear to my heart, such leaders as P.S. Patel, formerly manager of the Carnation Milk Products in the East, and T. Hansen of the Vashon State Bank, are the moving spirits of this local American game. Bill Whitfield and Con Tomsland, is that how you pronounce that?
Tomsland.
Bruce Tomsland? Will meet any barnyard golf fan in America, and they'll bring back the bacon, too. But that's about all they're fit for.
Barnyard golf?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that little section...
Do you use chicken eggs? And mole holes?
That little section, accompanied by Jelly Roll Morton, Seattle Hunch, an old instrumental from that era back in the... mid-1920s. You know anything about Jelly Roll?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was very big. You know, he was a giant at the time. Funny thing about Jelly Roll, you know what Jelly Roll means, and encoded, you know, in the blues. Jelly Roll is a female organ.
Oh.
And
not stuffed with delicious strawberries.
No.
Could be.
And, we're going to have to talk later.
Optional.
So naming Jelly Roll Morton would suggest that he was real ladies' man.
Uh-huh.
But in fact, there seems to be some evidence that he was gay.
Ah, okay.
His wife said Jelly was not, what is it? Jelly was not a sexy man. Music was his love.
Ah, okay. We found some contemporary music that has its roots or inspiration from the 1920s, and we'll play a few of those tunes as well as we sort our way, move our way through this rather lengthy address, the Isle of Vashon. From A Night at the Opera, this is Queen and Good Company, written by Brian May, right here on the Voice of Vashon.
Take good care of what you've got, my father said to me, as he puffed his pipe and baby bee he dandled on his knee. Don't fool with fools, old town away, keep all good company. Oh, 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 oh. Take care of those you call your own and keep good company. Soon my crew went happy to my very good friend. Jane, the girl from number four. Very soon I begged her, won't you keep me company? Oh, 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 oh. Come marry me forevermore, we'll be good company. Now marry is an institution, sure. My wife and I are needs and nothing more. All my friends by a year, by and by, disappear.
Comfort's my own limited company.
From A Night at the Opera and Good Company on Voice of Vashon.
And that's an interesting coincidence because, of course, A Night at the Opera was a Marx Brothers movie. And the broadcast that we are reliving this morning is to kind of set the scene for you. This happened 3 years before the Marx Brothers made their first movie, Coconuts.
Oh, that's great. That was just kind of serendipity there that we were playing A Night at the Opera. Cool. It's the Morning Scramble, and we are reading The Isle of Vashon, an address on the radio at Seattle radio station KFOA from 1926, May 26th, 1926. We're about halfway through, and we're about to get to the history section. So again, island music historian Mark Graham has provided us some accompaniment. And this is Will Shade and the Memphis Jug Band from Harmonica Rarities is the name of the CD. Sun Brimmer's Blues will accompany us as we read the next section of The Isle of Vashon here on The Voice of Vashon. Let's see if we've got it here. There it is. Here we go. Hit it, Cindy.
Vashon Island was discovered by George Vancouver 134 years ago, next Saturday. It was only a few years ago that a few tired professional men and their families discovered it as the spot that will restore youth and make it perpetual. I think I haven't found that location yet.
Yeah, we need to keep looking.
These leaders came here to get well, and they succeeded in a few weeks. They were unwilling to return east, so they settled here.
Their next question was to find some way of making a living. Many lines of activity was started, but now these lines have about settled down to three endeavors. Any man with energy enough to shell his own corn, rather than starve to death, can come here and get an easy living along any one of these three lines of endeavor. I refer chiefly to the poultry industry, the greenhouse business, and the growing of fruit. Last year, the island produced about 100 tons of gooseberries, 300 tons of cherries, 1,000 crates of currants, 5,000 boxes of apples, 3,000 boxes of pears, 3,000 crates of blackberries, 15,000 crates of raspberries, 100,000 crates of loganberries, and about 2,000 barrels of strawberries.
Only 3,000 crates of blackberries? I could get that out of my backyard. These berry growers range in size and operation from the man with an acre patch to B.D. Mukai, who has 60 acres, all in strawberries. Last season, many of the growers cleared above all expenses on strawberries, all the way from $300 per acre up to as high as $1,000. You can verify this statement by writing such men as Henry Steen, B.A. Hunt, Frank Enochs, or W.B. Mackey. The largest individual grower is B.D. Mukai, who last season packed over 800 barrels. He packs these berries in barrels, that's hard to say, using 300 pounds of berries, 150 pounds of sugar in each container. He sells them for around $90 a barrel. So you'll multiply 800 barrels by $90, you'll readily see why Mr. Mukai's face has broken the stoicism of the Orient for the Occidental smile of the American.
To say the same thing in shorter word, Mukai looks happy. I have picked strawberries in Pennsylvania. I have grown them in Iowa. I have marketed them in Idaho. But on my honor, the only place I have enjoyed them is on Vashon Island. I couldn't resist the temptation of writing a poem on the Vashon Island strawberry, and with your indulgence, here it is.
And with our apologies. How dear to my heart is the Vashon strawberry. When ripened from vines sprung from Vashon Isle soil, the sunshine has kissed it, the sea breeze has wooed it. It reaches perfection with minimum toil.
The innocent blush of its virginal beauty is spread from its heart to the surface we see. The odor of heaven surrounds every berry to win the affection of poets like me.
I'll praise it in secret. I'll praise it in public. I'll sing of its goodness and freedom from guile. The big Vashon berry, the red Vashon berry, the Vashon strawberry which grows on our isle.
How deftly the good wife removes the stem slender, then rinses the dust from each red berry's face. In pyramid piles they arise from the platter, while powdery sugar drifts into its place.
It drifts into canyon and crevice at pleasure, while cream flows in rivulets yellow as gold. The cream and the sugar and berry united prove Solomon right, for the half isn't told.
I'll smell of its fragrance. I'll taste of its goodness. There's naught to compare for a berry worthwhile. The reddest strawberry, the sweetest strawberry, the Vashon strawberry which grows on our isle.
Let apples bring fame to the Vale of Wenatchee. Vancouver may claim she's the home of the prune. Alfalfa may gladden the Yakima rancher. The smokestacks at Longview may reach to the moon.
Tacoma may boast that she still owns the mountain. Seattle may shout she's the port of success. Spokane's water power may outrival Niagara. But Vashon Isle strawberries beat the whole mess.
I'll eat it in shortcake. I'll eat it in pudding, in pie, from the vine, or in any old style. The most luscious berry, the peerless strawberry. The Vashon strawberry, which grows on our isle.
The Vashon Island strawberry, a poem read in 1926 on KFOA radio. It kind of went Dr. Seussian in there at the end.
Yeah. I'll eat it in shortcake. I'll eat it in pudding. I will not eat it in a box. I will not eat it with
a fox.
Forget about that. But any other way, we're good.
Bruce Hallman is here with us. The Vashon strawberry, that was the big industry back then. Or was it the dominant industry?
Or was it gooseberries?
Berries and fruit in general was one of the big industries on Vashon. The other two that he mentions earlier are the greenhouses and the poultry. And poultry was both raising chickens for competition and as breeding stock, but also eggs. And I think later on you'll read about the million eggs that are produced on Vashon.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into eggs.
We're getting there. So yeah. Eggs are a big piece. But what's interesting is in the 1920s, this is a time in which Vashon's actually in decline.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's what economists talk about as sector economics. And so what you've got are some sectors that are very, very successful. Greenhouses, poultry, berries. But logging's gone. Shipbuilding's gone. You know, it's the island's essentially in an economic decline, except for those successful industries. And part of the reason for this broadcast is to sort of pump up the island.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think, Jeff, you called it an early infomercial. That's really what it is. It's an infomercial about Vashon.
And think of the fertilization of all those wonderful berries from the second tallest smokestack in the world.
Exactly. They didn't have to worry about pests because the arsenic from the Renton smokestack,
from
the Ruston smokestack, took care of it all.
You are listening to the voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. We're reading The Isle of Vashon, an address in 1926 on KFOA radio in Seattle, delivered by Peter Monroe Smock. Bruce Hallman, island historian, is our guest, and we also welcome to the studio Mr. Michael Whitmore. Hello, my friend.
Good morning.
Hey.
By the way,
the man of 10,000 records.
Exactly. The Marx Brothers were on Broadway in 1926. Coconuts was the biggest hit on Broadway in 1926.
Oh, that's right. It started on Broadway the same year as this address.
Exactly, 1926.
Wow.
Useless information.
This is right up your alley, this whole thing.
Here. Oh, God, yeah. This is. Yeah, I love history. I'm really curious about the Vashon history. I think the most fascinating thing about Vashon history is that all the trees were cut down not to build, but to power up the steamships and the ferry boats.
Incidentally clearing land for bigger
growing. Is that true?
It is. I mean, lots of different uses for the lumber on Vashon. Much of it shipped off the island, but a lot of it went up the smokestacks of the steamers.
So all these trees, I guess they... But I always think that's fascinating that they weren't cut because to build the city of Seattle. No, they're cut so vacationers could come over here and eat wild strawberries.
So when you look at some of these old pictures of Vashon from back then, and they're not necessarily very attractive with all the clear cutting. Was in 1926, was most of the timber gone then?
It was. The big cut on Vashon really took place between about 1900 and 1915. Probably two-thirds of the island was logged in that 10-15-year period.
Yeah.
So by the 1920s, it's largely agricultural fields. And, of course, you don't want trees in fields. And so you don't really see trees coming back until the 1960s and 70s. So the island you see today is very different than the island that you would have seen from 1900 to 1960.
So I'm wondering how, when they're trying to promote Vashon as a place to live and a beautiful place to live, did people come over to the island and go, where are all the trees? Or was everything clear cut all over the Northwest around then?
Pretty much.
Stump city.
Yeah, exactly. And the lack of trees was actually, in their mind, a good thing because it was a sign of progress. It was a sign of development.
Oh. It opened up those majestic views.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you drive up to Inspiration Point today, there's very little inspiration except for the trees. Whereas even 30 years ago, you had a spectacular, almost 360-degree view. So trees change in attitude. Our attitudes toward trees
and
change.
And altitude.
So, Michael,
we knew
you'd bring some music for us today.
I brought
some
music.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about this first cut.
Carlos Gardel. He's Argentinian. He was the greatest tango singer of his day. Mm-hmm. And he's still legendary. He's still regarded as the greatest. He wrote a lot of the standards. And the kids who used to listen to tangos back then, especially in the teens, were basically the gangsters of their day. They wore these elaborate, I forgot they were called, there's a certain word for them, but they wore these elaborate vests and they hung out on street corners and they all had these like a curl down the front of your head.
Almost, under their pork pie hats.
Yeah, yes. Well, this was before pork
pie.
Sort
of a pre-Elvisian.
Yeah, it was definitely had a rockabilly look to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when they called tango what do they call that dance? The dance of, it was the... It was too promiscuous, but it was mostly because of the youth aspect of it. They were kind of the rugged kind of you don't mess with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but Carlos Gardel brought it up to kind of like a level of he's the Eminem of
1926.
He's the Eminem of. He's the Elvis Presley. He's the Eminem. He brought the subculture into the mainstream.
Okay.
And Carlos Gardel. He died in 1935. And according to legend, the Astor Piazzolla, who was about 15 at the time, was supposed to be on that tour with Carlos Gardel. But Astor Piazzolla's mom pulled him aside and said, "You can't go on tour." And Carlos Gardel died in a plane crash. 1935.
Okay, and this is Volver?
I think it's called Volver.
Volver.
Volver, perhaps?
Volver.
To return?
Yeah, I don't speak Portuguese.
All right. Well,
that one's pretty close to
Spanish.
You
got it queued up on the old turntable.
Let's see what it sounds like.
Here it is.
Adivino el parpadeo de las luces que a lo lejos van marcando mi retorno.
son las mismas que alumbraran con sus pálidos reflejos ondas horas de quietud. Y aunque no quise el regreso, siempre se vuelve al primer amor. La vieja calle donde lejos dijo tuya es su vida, tuya es su querer. Bajo el burlo mira de las estrellas que con indiferencia hoy me ven volver. Con la frente marchita las nieves del tiempo platearon mi cien. Sentí que es un soplo la vida, que 20 años no es nada, que bebé la mirada errante en las sombras de un peterombra. Viví con el alma aferrada a un dulce recuerdo que lloro de haber. Tengo miedo del encuentro con el pasado que vuelva a enfrentarse con mi vida. Tengo miedo de las noches que pobladas de recuerdos encadenen mi soñar. Pero el viajero que huye, tarde o temprano detiene su andar. Y aunque el olvido que todo destruye haya matado mi vieja ilusión, guardo escondida una esperanza humilde que es toda la fortuna de mi corazón. Volver con la frente marchita las nieves del tiempo platero mi cien. Sentir que es un soplo la vida, que 20 años no es nada, que febril la mirada errante las sombras te busca y te nombra. Vivir con el alma aferrada a un dulce recuerdo que lloro otra vez.
And some tango for you there on Voice of Vashon. This is the Isle of Vashon show. We are reading a speech delivered in 1926 to Seattle radio listeners everywhere. And interestingly, the radio station was a very powerful station, and you could hear it all the way over in Port Angeles and all the way down to Eugene.
Wow.
And people were writing in. It was a phenomenal response, and we'll go through some of those responses here in just a bit. But let's play a little, a contemporary version of an old Louis Armstrong. Was it Louis Armstrong that did East St. Louis Toodaloo, Michael Whitmore?
Say yes.
Okay, you'll just go with yes. I don't think it was Louis Armstrong.
It was Kid Orley. Kid Ory.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yes.
East St. Louis Toodaloo off Pretzel Logic will be our accompaniment for the next section of the Isle of Vashon. Here we go. To satisfy yourself that this picture isn't overdrawn, you are invited to come over and pay the island a visit. If you can't come, the next best thing is to send in your comments about this program, and maybe you'll be one of the lucky ones to get a crate of these berries as a gift. Vashon Island lies entirely within King County. It is easily accessible to both Tacoma and Seattle. It is only a couple of miles from the island to either city. From the center of the island, each city is equally near. They've pretty narrowed it down there. I have spoken briefly of our fruit industry, and now I wish to tell you of our greenhouses.
The Beale Greenhouse is the largest in the Northwest. It has over 225,000 square feet under glass. From this huge plant under glass, there's constantly going out truckloads of maidenhair ferns, tea roses, carnations, hydrangeas, lilies, and other flowers too numerous to mention. There also goes forth tomatoes, cucumbers, and other delicacies out of season to please the palate and tickle the tongue of the Eastern epicure. In addition to this mother plant, there are about 50 other greenhouse plants on the island, bringing smiles to the faces of their owners as they watch their flowers and vegetables grow, and also see a corresponding growth in the size of their bank accounts.
There are three reasons why this island is a greenhouse man's El Dorado. One is plenty of pure water, a second is cheap fuel, and the third is the mildness of our winters, making but a low degree of artificial heat necessary for the inside growth of flower and plant. All the greenhouse man has to do in the middle of the winter is just give old Saul just a little occasional boost, and the original heat giver will do the rest. Yeah, that's what I say. The heat giver's out today. One of the greenhouse men at Burton, J.L. Hart, is going to ship several selected crates of his inside-grown tomatoes to you, if you'll write us what you think of this program. Contemporary take on an old Duke Ellington tune, as we have just discovered thanks to the internets.
From 1927, East St. Louis, Toulouse.
And we are here on Voice of Vashon with Michael Whitmore, talking up some of the various and sundry things. Oh, somebody's trying to call me on my cell phone. I'll get
maybe
rid of
that.
Maybe
they think that this is an actual broadcast and they want to sign up for one of those crates of berries.
I'd like a ton of salmon, please.
Is it smoked?
So what do we got queued up over here on turntable number two?
We have Clara Smith. It's a she was known as the Queen of the Moaners.
Oh.
You know,
is this another sex thing?
Inevitably.
We've been talking about
who are these musicians?
Jelly rolls.
People did not have sex in the 1920s. It's documented. It's historic fact.
No one was born in 1927.
Nobody was born in 1920. She was actually a pretty big performer in her day, but in the South, and she toured with Louis Armstrong and Fletcher Henderson, and she recorded some with Bessie Smith, a couple of duets. But I'm not sure why she was called the Queen of the Moaners, because she has kind of like a lighter voice, so I'm not sure. Maybe live, she just kind of like, you know, would get down and dirty.
Okay.
But all right. But she also died in 1935. There's a theme here.
Well, man, there is.
So everybody you're playing for us all died in 19... Was it in the same plane crash?
Something like that.
That'd make an interesting theme for a show.
Okay, who is this again?
Clara Smith.
Clara Smith on the Voice of Vashon from the era.
Listen here, folks, I'm gonna sing a little song, but you mustn't get mad, I don't mean no wrong. There's an old maid, name is Liza Fair, always singing the blues when she tumbles in bed. Oh, it's tight like that. I mean it's tight like that. I know a hotel is called the Slumberland Pack. Got a million bed bugs just to make you scratch. Monkey woke up a quarter to three, and he said to the flea, quit your picking on me. Oh, it's tight like that. Oh, it's tight like that. Oh, hear me talking to you, I mean it's tight like that. Been gone. housewife. Too bad, Jim, oh, it's tight like that. Oh, it's tight like that. Oh, hear me talking to you. I mean it's tight like that.
That was perfect. There were a lot. There was much discussion of eggs in that record.
Although I can't say it really made me feel like copulating. That's the name of the album.
That's why nobody had sex in the 1920s.
Yeah.
Oh, because the music was so unsexy. Yeah.
Okay. Who was that one more time?
Clara Smith.
Clara Smith.
Yes.
From 2829. It's the Morning Scramble with Jeff and Cindy Hoyt. Michael Whitmore, our guest. He's brought some fantastic music of the era. And as we turn our attention to poultry, I'm going to bring back Jelly Roll Morton here to accompany us as we bring you the next segment of the Isle of Vashon.
Inasmuch as I must return to the island in the morning, I guess it wasn't any 1240 boat at that in that era, to face the inhabitants thereof, I am not going to say that the premier business of the island is poultry and egg production, but you'll find it's the truth if you make an investigation. There are over 250,000 laying hens on Vashon Island. The official records these hens are making each year all over the world has already put Vashon Island in a class by itself. The world knows no such records as our hens are making in contests wherever they are entered.
At the Puyallup Experiment Station, in competition with the U.S. and Canada, a pen of Vashon Island hens won first prize in 1922, being entered by Frank E. Gilbert. These hens held the world's record and were sold for $400 each. That's a lot of money back then.
No kidding, for one chicken.
Mm-hmm. In 1924, a pen of Vashon Island hens entered by J. Algio carried away the sweepstakes under the same competition as the Gilbert pen. Mrs. Covington, a novice, picked up one of her pullets, sent it over to Puyallup, and it brought back the second ribbon last year, laying 325 eggs in just 1 year.
L.C. Beale Jr. is one of the island's oldest and most conscientious breeders. He's entered his pullets all over the East and South and has first prizes from half a dozen different states. Mr. Beale won the Bergen County, New Jersey contest, which is one of the largest in the country. He won the Interstate Contest of Texas for two consecutive years and has the high record hen of the state. He was second last year in the Puyallup contest and had high hen in the state of Missouri.
Bark, bark, bark. Professor Lippincott of the U of California, who is regarded as one of the great poultry authorities of the world, says Mr. Beale has the most complete set of trap nest records he has ever seen. Mr. Beale has already shipped over 20,000 pedigreed eggs this season to all parts of the U.S. and Canada.
Another of the best-equipped poultry plants in Washington, if not in the U.S., is that of Highland Park Ranch near Portage. Mr. E. Morgan, the proprietor, holds a world record for the price he gets for eggs. According to Mr. Curtis, editor of Reliable Poultry Journal...
Yeah, we have a subscription to that still to this day.
Still reliable. Mm-hmm. There are no such records anywhere in the world. Mr. Morgan has sold several dozen eggs this season at $25 per egg.
Get out of town.
Tell you what, the hens that lay these $25 eggs are all over 300 eggers. Take one hen and figure out what she'll do on that basis. At $25 per egg and 300 eggs per year, such a bird would give her owner at the end of the year eggs worth $7,500. 10 such hens would return the owner $75,000 each year, or exactly the salary of President Coolidge.
Okay. If you have given up running for president of the U.S., all you need to do is buy Leghorn hens, and they will return to you on this basis the same annual income that Mr. Coolidge has. And at the same time, you wouldn't need to worry about Senator Pepper losing Pennsylvania or Senator Bob Stanfield losing the state of Oregon. I think Mr. Smock is kind of wandering here. On Vashon Island, there is laid each year about 50 million eggs. These eggs are uniformly snow white. If they could be strung like pearls, end to end, they would make a string of beads long enough to go around the neck of the world. That string of
white... Where is that exactly? I'm getting that.
String of white pearls would reach from Seattle to Portland, then on to Boise, then to Butte, back to Spokane, and then home to Tacoma and Seattle, and you'd have enough left to adorn the neck of every king and queen, born or unborn in Europe, with Lady Cathcart and Joyce Hawley thrown in for good measure.
Boy, you gotta say, he's got an imagination.
Oh, this is
fantastic. But I didn't know the neck of the world went from here to Butte.
Yeah, when I'm thinking neck of the world, Butte doesn't spring to mind at any point in time. Michael Whitmore is here. Lots of music of the era.
Yes.
Let's play another one.
Yeah, I decided we were playing all like a lot of jazz and pop music. Mm-hmm. This is actually some of the avant-garde music of the era. Ah. This is Edgar Varese. This is from 1924. And this is actually a modern recording of it, but, you know, it wasn't recorded often in the 1920s. It's Hyperism?
Hyperprism.
Hyperprism.
Whoa, and, that is avant-garde.
Yeah, Edgar Varese did not die in 1935. He died in 1965. Mm-hmm. I looked it up. And Frank Zappa was hugely influenced by him. And Edgar Varese was known for his textures and percussion sounds, and he's often called the father of electronic music, which I don't think he actually is, but... somehow he gets called that.
Well, I'm looking forward to this because I'm highly influenced by Frank Zappa, so it's kind of a chain.
Listen, you'll discover.
Here we go. Hyperprism on Voice of Vashon. As I listen to Hyperprism, I'm thinking perhaps it could add a bit of drama to the next section of the Isle of Vashon. So let's begin. But not all of Vashon Island is made up of good eggs. For that reason, we need churches. Here are about all denominations: Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Christian Science, Catholic, and Baptist. These hold services and have their organizations here.
Vashon Island is well represented with fraternal bodies. Here are the Modern Woodmen, the Odd Fellows, the Rebeccas, the Blue Lodge Masons, the Eastern Star, the Royal Arch Chapter, and the Commandery of Knights Templar. I have to throw in personally that these are not just fraternal, but, you know, there's some women's groups here too. Many Scottish Rite Masons live here, and a shrine club is now being formed. A growing chapter of DARs on the island, and one of the members of the SARs, is a delegate to the National Congress at Philadelphia next month.
There are all manner of women's clubs and literary clubs and music and art clubs and short-haired clubs and long-haired clubs and bald-head clubs and rifle clubs. Everything but a rolling pin club. And that will likely be started tomorrow when I get back to the island, because I haven't been able to do justice to my subject during this hour.
Vashon Island has many grammar schools scattered in central neighborhoods. It also has two accredited high schools. Tonight in Vashon, the high school, there is giving... That was a strangely worded sentence. They're giving diplomas to a class of 25 young people. And on Friday night at Burton, about as many more will hitch their wagons to the stars. There are no better churches, schools, and homes in the world than you'll find on the Isle of Vashon. People who are just now discovering what Captain Vancouver discovered 134 years ago, that Vashon Island stands with few equals and no superiors as a place to live and love and keep interested in life and home and country. Wow. I think I'm going to move to that place.
That music was perfect.
It's so dramatic.
Yeah. We're having a good time here.
Edgar Varese, he finds home here on Vashon Island. Yeah. Of course he does.
We are in the home stretch. Speaking of home, there's just one more page, which includes...
Another poem.
A poem, which we'll finish the show with, because they finished their show with back in 1926 with it. Right now, though, let's just take a break for a little bit of more contemporary take on an old tune from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which was from back in the, which was depicting that era, 1920s, 30s. T-Bone Burnett is quite the music historian and dug up a lot of old tunes. And he came up with an old Jimmy Rogers song from 1920s. This is In the Jailhouse Now on Voice of Vashon.
I had a friend named Ramblin' Bob. Used to steal, gamble, and rob. He thought he was the smartest guy around. Well, I found out last Monday that Bob got locked up Sunday. They've got him in the jailhouse way downtown. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, I told him once or twice to stop playing cards and a-shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now. To play his poker, a peanut, a whist, and yoker, but shooting dice was his favorite game. Well, he got thrown in jail with nobody to go his bail. The judge done said that he refused the fine. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. Well, I told him once or twice to stop playing cards and a-shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now. Met a girl named Susie. I said I was the swellest guy around. Well, we started to spending my money, and and she started to callin' me honey. We took in every cabaret in town. We're in the jailhouse now. We're in the jailhouse now. Well, I told that judge right to his face, I don't like to see this place. We're in the jailhouse now.
In the jailhouse now. That's from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Jimmy Rogers tune from the 20s from as delivered by T-Bone Burnett and crew. Now, who actually sang this version? Do you know? It wasn't. Was it?
I think it was the actor.
Was it Tim Blake Nelson?
I think it sang
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, he actually sang it.
I think he did. Yeah. That sounds like his voice.
Yeah.
Whereas the other vocals were done by the mandolin player in Allison,
the Union House, Station,
the Union Station, So, which he still gets to do live now. It's like everyone goes to see Allison Krauss, but they wait for the mandolin player to sing the song from Brother Where Art Thou.
So, I am a man of constant sorrow. That one,
That's a great movie and a great soundtrack. And actually, there in the mid-20s, there was the big fad was hillbilly music. Like it always been, once again, it had been kind of, it always been around. Mm-hmm. But suddenly it hit the airwaves, and like the Carter family were huge. You know, the Carter family, which, you know, June Carter is the last of the
matriarch.
The matriarch, yeah. And, you know, Johnny Cash married into the Carter family. And also Jimmy Rogers, they were huge. And it was like this whole hillbilly kind of like fad going on. And then it kind of, you know, became more, you know, bluegrass and countryside. It all kept.
Well, it kind of set the stage for Woody Guthrie and then the Depression era music that followed in the 30s.
So it's really funny that hillbilly music became a fad before the Depression, because people think of it as like the music of the Depression. Because,
predates. It's from the hill people.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they think of, you know, Oklahoma, you know, sand everywhere, and people sit on their porch and dust bowl. And no, it was October 10th, 1928.
By the Dust Bowl, these were the oldies.
Yes.
We have two more sections of the show, and I'm going to find our sponsor, our next sponsor.
Oh, from the 1926.
This portion Vashon of the Morning newspaper. Scramble brought to you by Thurkelson's Transfer. Like Vashon, we are growing. With two trucks, we can do your hauling, both millwood and coal. Wet or dry wood. Phone Red 112 in Portage for Thurkelson's Transfer. Accept no substitute.
Two trucks. Two.
Two. Count them, two. We got two more songs, or two more sections from the Isle of Vashon, and maybe we'll throw a little bit more instrumental music underneath. Let's try Seattle Hunch from Jelly Roll. That seemed to work really well. This is our final section before the poem that wraps it all up, the Isle of Vashon. So we're down in the home stretch here. My dear mother lived to be 81 years old without knowing there was a better piece to a roasted chicken than the drumstick. This is true of the thousands who are rushing to Florida. They are good people and go there because they don't know any place that's better. Others leave the snow and blizzards of the East and flock to California. Such people think the neck is the best piece of the chicken, as it's the part that does the crowing, and California surely does crow. But she has a right to crow, for some people are readily satisfied with the neck piece. Others choose the sagebrush of dry Idaho and drier Montana. They are the class who like the dry and tasteless breast of the chicken.
See, now he's got me totally confused. I thought the neck was between Seattle and Butte.
Yeah.
And now he's saying that Montana is actually the breast.
Okay. So. Yeah. Let's continue our jaunty jaunt through the body of the chicken here.
The piece de resistance of every chicken is the piece that crossed the fence last. It's the chicken's back. That's the part the seeker finds when he comes to Vashon Island. It's the piece with the backbone. Our island is the backbone of the Pacific Northwest. The nerves of conscience, the arteries of commerce, the connecting link between the two largest cities, the gateway to health, happiness, and prosperity.
Backbone of the Pacific Northwest? I bet Bill Moyer loves that.
Gonna be excited.
Vashon Island, the best spot in the best county of the best state of the best nation on this old earth. I have the pleasure of inviting you to send in your comments to the Vashon Island News Record and win a prize. But better still, on behalf of 5,000 happy residents, I invite you to come and visit us, then settle with us and enjoy with us this spot which the good God created when he was in a happy mood. And that was The Isle of Vashon. The last piece of it is a poem, which we'll read to you after one more piece of music brought to us by our special guest, Michael Whitmore, who has music from all eras, all flavors. You just have it all.
I try to.
Yeah.
I used to have more, but I had to get rid of some.
Do you have it really well organized?
Oh, my God, no.
No?
Not so you don't have it by decade?
Oh, my God. You should see what my house looks like right
year.
Now. I was going crazy looking for that Carlos Gardel record, and records are all over my little cabin. And all of a sudden, I remembered, wait a minute, I DJed that on Saturday night, so it's in a box in the car.
Yeah.
So
there it was.
I'm trying to organize it, but then I
yeah, it doesn't happen.
I don't know what it means.
But you can hear a lot more of Michael's music on his hour of live music.
On Fridays at 4 o'clock, called Strange Cargo.
Yeah. We've really been enjoying that show.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I love doing it.
Yeah.
And I think next Monday, me and Diane Krause are going to be filling in for Greg Curry while he's still out of town.
Can do some morning scrambling.
Morning scrambling one more time.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yes. Yes.
We'll have to talk.
I did it last Monday, and I can't believe how early 8 o'clock feels when you're talking into a microphone.
I can.
I bet you can.
Cindy just shows up around 8:30, 8:40.
Yeah,
she's been here since 7:30, but
coffee
she doesn't show
in
up.
Psychologically, show up.
Yes.
Got time for one more song.
Yeah, I pulled up a Benny Moten. Benny Moten is kind of forgotten now, but he was like kind of the king of Kansas City. His records, 7-8, are highly collectible, mostly because he had people like Count Basie in his band, and Jimmy Rushing later on would be in his band. So Benny Moten was a huge. He's kind of like the proto boogie woogie piano style.
Ah.
So he's kind of important in music history, but he is not a. He's definitely a big footnote. So, and I just looked it up, and believe it or not, he died in 1935.
Oh, you're kidding me!
From a botched tonsillectomy.
Wow. So these are not natural causes. 35 was a bad year.
Bad year.
So did the other guy's plane crash into him while he was getting his tonsillectomy?
Exactly.
That would probably cause a problem there. So yes. Benny Moten here on the Voice of Vashon. And Michael, thank you so much
My
for
pleasure.
Coming by.
Anytime.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Here he is, Benny Moten on Voice of Vashon. Thank you. Moten and South on The Voice of Vashon. Thanks again to Michael Whitmore for bringing all the great tunes. The last piece of the Isle of Vashon, the address to the nation, broadcast in 1926 on KFOA radio, was a poem. And I don't know if Peter Morton Smock, the speaker of this whole thing that we've been presenting to you, actually wrote this poem or somebody else did, but there's a bit of cheese here, but we're going to read it to you because I think you'll appreciate it. It's called Vashon Island.
It's Vashon Isle for winter, and it's Vashon Isle for spring. It's Vashon Isle for autumn with a summer in between.
It's Vashon Isle for sun-kissed hills beset with fir and fern. It's Vashon Isle for fertile fields wherever you may turn.
Each resident is happy and will greet you with a smile. For the best the world can offer is right here on Vashon Isle.
It's Vashon Isle for churches, and it's Vashon Isle for schools. It's Vashon Isle for harmony, where progress ever rules.
It's Vashon Isle for music, and it's Vashon Isle for art. It's Vashon Isle for winding paths to win the lover's heart.
You start to walk a city block, and roaming walk a mile, for there's inspiration every step on charming Vashon Isle.
It's Vashon Isle for boosters of the 33rd degree, for the horn is Vashon's symbol, and it's tooted constantly.
It is tooted loud and often, day and night, in sun and rain. It is tooted, 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 and then tooted once again.
For it's Vashon, lovely Vashon, charming Vashon, without guile. Nature's dimpled smile of gladness, Puget's gem, is Vashon Isle.
You think it's over, but it's not. It's enchanted Vashon Island for the best the world can give. Health and wealth await your coming to this fairyland to live.
Salt sea breezes, ozone laden, woo with whispers soft and clear. Cast your worries off forever and come and settle here.
Vashon Isle will satisfy you till the angels on you smile and the front door into heaven opens out on Vashon Isle. And in 1926, that was followed up by a performance of Home Sweet Home by Doris Hoyt and the Smith family. So the Isle of Vashon, it's over. We finished it. It's the address that went out over the radio in 1926. A week later, the Vashon Island News Record had an article about the response. Broadcast replies come like an avalanche, it said. Vashon Island's night on the air went over bigger than even the wildest optimist ever dreamed of. Before the speaker had left the broadcasting studio, a telegram was delivered from Centralia telling how much the entire hour was enjoyed. From that hour to this, the phone calls and letters are pouring in from every direction. The first mail brought 31 letters, and the second brought 62, and the outside points haven't even been heard from. We will have the committee tabulate and report on the responses for the paper next week. Every letter boosts the program, and not one discordant note has been heard. We are planning on a special radio number for June 11th, which will contain the address and many of the letters. We shall try to sell enough advertising to pay the actual cost of the special edition. Will you put in with us on such an undertaking? Already we have received definite promises of a large number who heard the program to come to Vashon Island for their vacation, and at least two different home seekers are coming to look the island over before they buy.
Well, why would you not? I mean, there's no flies, no mosquitoes, no thieves, no earthquake, and no death.
It's a pretty good place to live.
I'll tell you what, the weather seems to even be better on this side of the passage.
We still have time for a couple more songs inspired by the era, which we'll play here before we wrap things up at 11 o'clock. But we'll also come back and read just a few letters that came into the paper after this extravaganza aired. Right now, a band that was definitely inspired by the era, the Squirrel Nut Zippers from the CD Hot. This has got my own thing now. The Voice of Vashon.
Thank you. was a lad, I was a little bit shy. Something came along, caught my eye. When I heard the jazz band strike up, swear I had my mind made up. Now I'm getting older, and everything is in full swing. Now I'm getting bolder, my boy got to do that thing. Used to walk alone with the rest, got something on my own. Oh baby, you got a little something, darling, you got a little something new. Find a little something new. Broke away somehow, that's why I'm swinging it. Got my own thing now. Children's games, but the jazz band makes some noise. Step up, ladies, and watch out, boys. Mirror on the wall, there's a hot band in the hall. Let everybody sing. Boy, you gotta do that thing. Used to walk alone with the rest. Got something on my own. Oh, baby, you got to something. Darling, you got to something new. Got to something new. Broke away so. Everybody says so, that's why I'm swinging it. Shoo-bop, 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 shoo-do-up.
Squirrel Nut Zippers and Got My Own Thing Now from Hot on Voice of Vashon. It's 10:52 on the Vashon, Voice of Vashon Morning Scramble. This portion of the show brought to you by the Portage Store, General Merchandise from Harry M. Lee, proprietor. Tuesday specials, Bonton Coffee, regularly 50 cents a pound, 3 pounds for just $1.35. Number 2.5 size sliced pineapple, regularly 30 cents a can, 2 for 55 cents. That's a good deal. And 16 pounds of granulated sugar, just $1.
16 pounds?
Yes.
I guess you have to put something into all those strawberries.
They also have washing powders, White King, Citrus, LaFrance, Satina, Ivory Flakes, Borax Soap Chips, Borax Powder, Gold Dust, and Rinso. And don't forget the 2 dozen pairs of boys' and girls' shoes in odd sizes at just 99 cents.
You can buy your kids' shoes by 2 dozen lots?
Yep.
They must have really run through those suckers.
I know. Portage Store. Remember, we sell hardware, furniture, dry goods, and Maytag washing machines. We don't keep them. We sell them. Try us and be convinced our prices are right.
They sure are.
Yeah. Some of the letters that came in, just a couple excerpts from letters that were written in response to the Isle of Vashon address. In our estimation, we have heard nothing that can compare with the efforts of your editor as star performer on the Vashon program. We know now that your wonderful station is the El Dorado of all creation. We think, however, that in his speech, one serious mistake was made in naming the varied and unlimited resources of Vashon Island and failing to mention the chief one, in our opinion, the unique and ingenious booster that you have produced. We are sure no eggs laid by your marvelous chickens, no fruit grown in your wonderful ranches, no product from your greenhouses ever gave Vashon Island the skillful advertising it received tonight at the hand of your inimitable speaker.
I wonder if he actually wrote that letter.
Or his mother did.
Yeah.
From Ferndale, Washington, your radio talk over KFOA last night caused many extra smiles in my home. I have never realized before what an heritage is mine by being a native of Vashon. Talks of that nature by probably a little overzealous booster will bring no harm to any community. I am here reminded of a little jingle that fits in very nicely. The man who hollers down a well about the goods he has to sell will never reap the shining dollars like he who climbs a tree and hollers. Here is my wish. Vashon, more power to you. That was written by F. W. Gorsuch.
Wow. Of the road name.
Of the road.
Maybe that was who wrote that last poem.
Mm-hmm. I was a very interested listener to your program broadcast by KFOA this evening. It surely must be a wonderful island to produce such wonderful berries, chickens, eggs, and poets. And it is hard to believe that California is the only place that eats the neck of the chicken, judging by the amount of crowing I heard tonight. But you surely have something to crow about, and I was surprised and glad to know that we had such a delightful spot so close to Seattle. And one more from another letter from Seattle. We enjoyed your program over the radio Wednesday evening. The songs and music were fine. Everything you said about the island is true. We think, though, that the ferry rates are too high for making very many trips.
Well, that hasn't changed.
We made a trip about 5 weeks ago with the car and five passengers, and it cost us $4.85.
Okay, that's changed.
I suppose those things can't be remedied. That hasn't changed.
Not a bit of it.
It's 10:55. We have had a blast performing the Isle of Vashon for you, as delivered by Peter Monroe Smock on KFOA 89 years ago. Wow, it's been fun, and it's time to wrap things up. We got one more song that kind of fits in with the era. It's a tune that was composed a long time ago, back before even the address happened. It is from O Brother, Where Art Thou? Harry McClintock and Big Rock Candy Mountain. And we'll see you next week on the Morning Scramble on Voice of Vashon. Except that is not Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Nope.
But this is...
One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, there's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes, and you sleep out every night. Where the boxcars all are empty, and the sun shines every day. On the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, all the cops have wooden legs, and the bulldogs all have rubber teeth, and the hens lay soft-boiled eggs. The farmer's trees are full of fruit, and the barns are full of hay. Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall, the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, you never change your socks, and the little streams of alcohol come a-trickling down the rocks. The brakemen have to tip their hats, and the railroad bulls are blind. There's a lake of stew and a whiskey too. You can paddle all around them in a big canoe in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, the jails are made of tin, and you can walk right out again as soon as you are in. There ain't no short-handled shovels, no axes, saws, or picks. I'm a-going to stay where you sleep all day, where they hung the Turk that invented work in the Big Rock Candy Mountains. I'll see you all this coming fall in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.